Alright, afternoon. This is SOL 402973. It is a review request with respect to an above guideline increase application that was heard several months ago. Now, Mr. Kappa, you are here for the landlord.
Yes.
And I know that the review request was brought by one particular tenant on behalf of who is L.D. Blake?
That's
you?
That's
okay.
Me, sir. I'm
You're
here
Mr. Blake?
Tenants.
Good morning. Or afternoon. Okay, so it's in your name, but I think you brought it on behalf of a number of tenants who had attended.
My goal was to reopen certain parts of the original proceeding, or all of it.
Yeah.
And I am not a lawyer, sir.
No, and you don't expect everyone appearing
to be
a lawyer.
What I did, just to cover myself, was I took a sign-up sheet for representation. If you wish.
That is very helpful. Please. Thank you.
I really didn't want to come in here and get told to leave, so.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I do appreciate your making that effort. Now, who's a tenant in the room? I suspect most of you are tenants.
We all are.
Okay, and are you comfortable with Mr. Blake speaking on your behalf?
Yes?
Okay. Okay, so just to let you know.
Sorry.
It's okay. Now, just to let you know, Mr. Blake and everyone else. Yeah. Oh, Ms. Blake, I'm
no,
terribly
it's
sorry.
Okay. Whichever you choose.
I'm terribly sorry. Yeah, Ms. Blake.
By way of explanation, I'm a transgendered person, and I really don't care about gender, so you just, the way you're, whatever way you're
okay.
comfortable is just fine
well,
with me.
What do you prefer?
LD. That's what my friends
LD.
Call me.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem with that. If I have misaddressed you in any way, I didn't mean
no,
anything
I would
else.
Not have a problem with it in any case.
Okay. All right. Okay, so at this point, it's a review request. So what needs to be done initially with respect to the review request is the requester, that would be you. You need to tell me what serious error was made and that sort of thing. Now, I have read through, I haven't listened to the recording yet because I tend to find that, you know, if I hear submissions first, that will guide me in how I need to listen to things. The main thrust, I guess, of your argument is that on the last date when this was heard before the order was made, the member hearing it on that particular date was somewhat impatient and did not really let the tenants sort of express themselves as fully as they would have liked to have. And
yes.
In doing so, they
that,
were
that
denied
is the
natural justice.
That's the trigger event for it.
Okay, so tell me about that at this point.
Should I stand?
You don't need to stand.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Yes.
If I may first, I would like to just bounce off a couple of really quick preliminary issues.
Okay.
If I may.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that should take more than a few seconds each.
That's right.
First, through the process of gathering this information, I have come up with a whole bunch of new stuff that post-dates my application.
Your request.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amongst that, I have questions about different sections of the application that I initially stated on the request.
Yeah.
Especially 1, 4, 5, and 9 from the landlord's application.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fire systems, the
okay.
Hallway
well, before we deal with those, though, what you need to tell me first is why we need to reopen the whole thing.
Okay.
And then, once we get to that, we can address those issues. Now,
right.
My guess is we're going to take enough time on the preliminary issue, and I will want to listen to the recording before I make any findings that...
Absolutely.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to consider that issue, and then after I've considered that issue, I will issue an order, and if I find that we do have to reopen the application, then we'll have to come back on another day. If not, then we don't come back. So
okay.
At this point, let's focus on, you know,
okay,
the,
so we're
yeah.
doing review today as opposed to the actual review.
Yeah, because
the
merits,
order.
That's the second step, if
right.
we get past the first one.
Okay,
okay.
I had studied and read up on this, and what I discovered was that they usually both happen at the same time. So
often
came,
they do, but...
I came
know.
Fully prepared to go ahead today.
Oh, and I do appreciate that. Often
okay.
that is the case, but... Unfortunately, because this is an Aggie, it was scheduled at 2:30. If we had more time, we might be able to do that. But in any event, I will have to listen to the recording after you pinpoint to me what I need to be listening to on the recording.
Yes. The time markers you will need are in my original application. Also, okay, I should give you three submissions here.
Do you have that for Mr. Kapp as well?
Yes.
Okay.
These are with respect to the issues raised in the original application, although I will be asking to expand that somewhat.
Okay. Well, I will certainly put them in the file, so you've numbered them conveniently. So, tenant exhibit number one.
Now, with your permission, I would also like to distribute these to the people in the galley here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Pass those up for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes. Very minimal charge.
Oh, okay. just, your check is in the mail?
All good things. Did you want to do it today?
Oh, start on that side. We sort of had a little plan to pass these around. If we went to the full tribunal, I was going to ask permission to do this.
I understand.
Have you passed it just back?
Yeah, they'll work it out.
If there aren't enough, please maybe share some of the points.
Well, there deliberately aren't enough, so we're encouraging some sharing.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Trying to get these people to get along.
Okay. So, anyways, as I was saying, the reason your request was sent to you here is because your request did allege an issue of natural justice in the sense that you were alleging that the interventions by the member on that particular day were so intrusive that it essentially denied you and your fellow tenants the right to, you know, fully bring up and express the issues that you wanted to at the time. So
that is part of it.
All right, tell me about that first.
Okay, this would be from page 3 that I just sent around here.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
My submission 3, yes.
Yes, the transcribed portions from, yeah.
Yes, okay. I had intended to have a laptop here so I could actually play these for you.
But yeah.
My plan fell through at the last moment, these things are wont to do.
We have the recordings at the office as well, so I can sort of listen to it there.
These are just examples from, there are several other cases.
Yeah.
The one at 1615,
yes.
Really sticks in my mind because not only was this tenant blocked from asking his question, he was very rudely asked, "Are you an engineer?" And when you hear the recording, you will hear the tone of it is shocking. Mm-hmm. It was to me.
Okay.
And then Ms. Van Delft proceeded to lecture the tenant who did this, who wanted to ask this question. And basically, from talking to this person who is here today, I got the impression that he took that as sit down and shut up. That's what he heard. The same is true of the incident at 2000. This was a tenant attempting to establish the credibility of documents passed 2010.
Sorry, 20 minutes in. So,
yes.
Okay, that's an actual.
Right. Yes. This was a tenant who was attempting to establish credibility of documents past 2010 in the debate about whether or not the evidence for the balcony repairs was adequate. And as you can see, this tenant was shut down again very coldly. And this concerns me very much because, first of all, doing an AGI is difficult for tenants in the beginning because this work is often done without our knowledge, with very little warning, and always done without our permission. So the result is that quite often what happens is either the work is done and the first time we're actually aware of the work is on these applications, okay? The result being we're sort of ambushed by it, if you will. The second concern is that without having direct access to these work sites in advance, there's really no way we can develop evidence to make a counterpoint. I could not come in here today and give you a document that says those balconies were okay. So the burden of proof here becomes an issue in that rather than the assumption which appears to be extant in Ms. Van Delft's case that the tenants were sort of secondary to the issue and that the landlord's application was valid simply because they spent the money, we have to look at how we weigh 126 paragraph 8 against 126 itself, in that unless a landlord can present proof of need, did you need to do this, okay, then we have to consider that their claim is not valid for the simple reason that the tenants have no opportunity to argue otherwise. And Ms. Van Delft took that to the extreme in this hearing by literally shutting the tenants down. At one point in the hearing, although I didn't transcribe it, she stopped the entire proceeding and lectured the tenants about how the government had said, go ahead, spend money, and then these guys have to pay for it. And that was an extremely biased thing to say. It favored the landlord's side of the issue far too strongly. It's not a neutral argument. It wasn't information, it was a lecture. And I feel that in the process of this, as I said in my my last pages in my application, I feel that this became so bad that with respect to the other side here, these guys could have won that case with a blank sheet of paper.
So you believe that her comments, the exact legal term is reasonable apprehension of bias, that it created a reasonable apprehension of bias.
Yes, I believe she created that, yes.
Okay.
Now, I do understand the term.
Yeah. Now, the test on reasonable apprehension of bias is, you know, what would an informed, you know, reasonable third party watching the proceedings without any involvement,
correct,
what would they feel if they were watching and listening? And so, I mean, like I said, I'm going to listen to the tape. The excerpts you've given me are very helpful, and I do appreciate the effort you've put into it. So when I listen to the tape, based on what you told me, if I were to look at it as a reasonable, you know, like a, you know, a fairly informed, you know, a third party, essentially, I guess you're saying that I'm going to get the sense that it was, the game was fixed from the beginning, that it was essentially, you know, a done deal, or at the very least, her mind wasn't open, fully open. Is that what you're?
Okay, I was not at the first proceeding.
Okay.
Therefore, I believe that I can almost take that neutral third-party position.
Okay.
I do have a financial stake in the outcome of this, of course, but I believe that in listening to the recordings on my home systems with headphones.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you get a copy of this evidence disc that I submitted?
I do have a disc here. That's the recording, I take it?
Yes.
Because I do have the recordings back at the office. We would have provided that.
Okay, what I did, because the original recording had a lot of room noise and noise spikes and that, is I ran it through a number of filters to clarify the voices.
Okay.
So if this will help you.
I do have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that the one you submitted with the request?
Yes.
Okay, I do have that.
Yeah, it's buried in one of the folders in there.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I can take that reasonable third-party position.
Yeah.
And I would not be understating the case to say that I was shocked by what I was hearing. I don't want to use words that are stronger than reason. But as you put it, yes, I do believe it was a done deal. I believe it was decided before anybody entered this room. And, of course, I have no documents or testimony that can prove that, but that is the impression it leaves.
We can't read her mind, obviously, but
which we could.
If I were to listen to the recording and the comments she made, you're suggesting, I think, that this was not a person who was neutral at that point. It was just giving the information that I have to people.
At one point, late in the procedure, mm-hmm. back around the 55-minute region, mm-hmm. You will hear her actually speak mm-hmm. the landlord's case for them. And establish the landlord's witnesses' mm-hmm. credibility. And interestingly enough, throughout the recording, she repeatedly asked the tenants, "Are you an engineer?" This was a repeated question many times throughout the proceeding. Mm-hmm. At the end of the recording, you will hear Ms. Vandell say, "Listen, this woman," referring to the landlord's witness, mm-hmm. "this woman is not an engineer. She is a person in good standing. Her credibility is not in question here." Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, all through this meeting, she's been attacking tenants with that same question. Okay. I don't believe there was an objective hearing. I don't believe it was objective at all.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell me?
Oh, about 3 million things, but I think we'll have to wait for the redo.
Okay. All right. Mr. Kappa, Why don't you give me your side of this particular argument?
Okay. Well, I guess, sir, the difficulty I have with the review request is that it's prepared, it's filed by somebody that wasn't present mm-hmm. at the hearing.
Yeah.
So if you put yourself in that room, mm-hmm. The room was packed.
Yeah.
It was noisy. There were mm-hmm. discussions going on amongst tenants. I can tell you, sir, when you go through the tape, you'll hear that the member allowed the evidence to go in item by item. She canvassed the tenants for questions to the landlord. She repeatedly canvassed tenants for evidence, for their own evidence. The other thing that you should be aware of, sir, is that the tenants were represented by duty counsel.
Mr. Woodall.
Yes. And I can tell you that at no point during the proceedings did Mr. Woodall object to the manner in which the hearing was being conducted.
Right.
At no point did Mr. Woodall object to or raise any issue of bias mm-hmm. or ask the member to be recused mm-hmm. Or make any submissions with respect to the presentation of evidence.
Yeah.
Okay. With respect to the issue of bias, again, where a board member, and in this case, she did allow individual tenants to ask questions and mm-hmm. to give evidence. It wasn't all through Mr. Woodall.
Okay.
And it's not uncommon, sir, for board members to attempt to assist the parties by directing them and focusing their evidence.
And I've done, you know, I've done Aggie hearings as well. You've been involved in some of them. And I mean, I do know that there are times when, you know, when it comes to the point where you ask the tenants any submissions you have to make in opposition. You know, it is necessary sometimes to steer, you know, people towards relevant arguments, because there are certain arguments that are relevant in opposition to an Aggie, some are not, and, you know, there are times when I have to tell them that's an individual issue within your own rental unit, you need to bring an application of your own about that. And so, yeah, I mean, there is oftentimes, especially when you have a large crowd of people, you know, wanting to express their own issues, you do need to guide them sometimes, but you know, you do have to be patient as well, and you do have to let them air out certain things before you interrupt. And I mean, like I said, I have not listened to the recording yet. I will do so. I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing. You know, you can intervene certainly to guide things along. You can't intervene too much, certainly not to a degree where you're cutting people off. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
The other
cutting people off. I'm sorry.
No worries. The other concern that I have with the review request is that, you know, it's one thing for somebody to be present and to recall the facts of, of the case, but here what we have is, in my submission, a cherry picking of certain statements, certain segments. And I think when you take it all in context, you'll appreciate that what was occurring is a very repetitive statements made by tenants, repetitive questions. And in my submission, when you look at section 15 of the SPPA, you know, the board member, I think, has a duty to interject in situations where the evidence is unduly repetitive. And I think that's what you'll encounter when you go through the recording. Certainly, what transpired here is that not only were tenants giving evidence, but they were, it was going beyond sort of factual evidence, getting into technical, structural evidence about the condition of the building. And in my submission, it was appropriate for the board member to, where somebody's giving opinion evidence of a technical nature, to challenge challenge that evidence, to ask what their qualifications are. And in my submission, it's it becomes, where they're not qualified, it becomes irrelevant to the hearing process. And so there was a duty on the board member to certainly make those inquiries. And as I said, it was a noisy, full room. You'll notice when you listen to it that she's raising her voice, and that's to make herself heard, because tenants repeatedly were saying, "We can't hear you." And so it's, you know, I wouldn't read that as being, being nasty by any means.
I think with this room, I know that the air sometimes gets very loud in here. No question about that.
You know, as far as perhaps a board member being pointed with the tenant, the board member was also pointed with the landlord at certain points of the presentation. So in my submission, you know, the purpose of a review isn't to give tenants a second kick at the can where they're displeased with the outcome that's been made. There was certainly any of the documentary evidence that the tenants were relying on that was submitted. It was considered by the board member, and that's reflected in the reasons that she did give. The final point I want to make about the review request is that I think there's a slight grasp and understanding here, and the standard or burden of proof, and that's again reflected in the board member's decision, it's based on the balance of probabilities. And when I went through the review request, it seems that they're trying to navigate into the area beyond a reasonable doubt. And that simply isn't the standard of proof here. And based on the evidence that was tendered, you know, there is points that are made in the review request, but again, the parties were canvassed. They were given an opportunity to make their submissions. And in my submission, the decision was properly weighted based on the evidence before the member.
All right. Okay. Anything you want to add? LD, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
First of all, in respect of qualification of witnesses, a good representative should be able to ask questions of anyone in here that don't require an engineering degree to get at a certain kind of information. And at the end of the case, I'm going to suggest that as you listen through, you will discover Mr. Woodall was becoming more and more battered, if for lack of a better word. And by the end of the proceeding, I'm reasonably sure, without having asked him, that he basically decided not to call any witnesses because he probably didn't think it would succeed.
I have to object to that. I mean, it's pure speculation.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, can't,
somebody that wasn't at the
mayor. We can't read Mr. Woodall's mind any more than we can read.
I'm sort of reading the event as I was listening to it. I'm not saying that Mr. Woodall said or did that. I'm saying that that's how it felt listening to the tape. I take your objection. In terms of the argument of burden of proof, you are correct that I am asking for a much higher standard than has been apparent. From reviewing several Aggies online reported cases and so on, I discovered case after case after case where, when it comes down to the bottom part of the case, my turn, all it says is the witness had no evidence. The tenants had no evidence. No evidence was given from the respondents. And these kind of statements probably shouldn't appear in such a proceeding because there's very large amounts of money at stake. And what concerns me with this is we cannot allow a landlord's claim, with respect, to be valid simply because they spent money. They're going to have to prove to me. As I joked with my friends and neighbors here the other day, taking the example of the first item on the application, which is the fire systems repair. This was done in the back of the building, way down in a basement section that's not heavily used by the tenants. Most of us didn't even know about this until we saw it on the application. So my comment with respect to burden of proof on that is that if you're going to do something without my permission and without my knowledge and in the process you're going to destroy the evidence of what you've done, by gosh, you better have a very, very good reason for doing it, and especially for asking me to pay for it. And I don't think it is unreasonable, given that most tenant groups in buildings like ours really have no opportunity to develop evidence in these situations. I don't think it is unreasonable to suggest that the entire burden of proof almost has to fall on the landlord for the simple reason of maintaining fairness in the procedure. It's like asking a mute person to scream as proof that they're not mute. And we can't do it. We cannot make that scream. We cannot stand up and say, boy, have we got a pile of paper for you. They can, we can't. I cannot sit here today and demonstrate to you that those balconies did not need to be replaced. Therefore, the only reason, I may be able to later, but I can't do it at this moment. The only reasonable burden of proof then has to be that they have demonstrated beyond reasonable doubt.
Well, it's not beyond reasonable doubt. That's
okay, on preponderance of evidence.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Because that is the civil standard. I mean, I'm listening to what you're telling me. I get the sense that it's not so much whether it's reasonable doubt or, you know, balance of probabilities, which balance of probabilities in a civil proceeding, that is the standard.
Okay.
There is only one kind of proceeding, and it's criminal proceedings where it's reasonable doubt. I think what I get the sense of what you're saying here is you felt like the burden was reversed and put onto the tenants.
I felt that two things impressed me very, very strongly in listening to that recording and in talking to my friends and neighbors here. Two things impressed me very, very strongly. First of all, they did not feel that they were invited to participate freely. They almost universally told me that they were uncomfortable in that room listening to it. I do appreciate the noise problem in this room. I understand it.
Pretty bad at times, yeah.
Well, I have a background in electronics. I worked as an audio engineer for quite some time, so that's why I filtered the recording for you. I do appreciate that when someone raises their voice, as I'm doing now, it can be mistaken for anger.
Yeah.
And I do understand that moods can kind of go south in a hurry in that situation, even though the person is well-intentioned. That, however, doesn't excuse shutting down a question. Mm-hmm. Shutting down a statement, I might understand, but shutting down a question is something else. Mm-hmm. If, as Mr. Kappa has pointed out, some of the tenants in that proceeding did not understand fully what was going on. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of be expected when you...
It's understandable.
When you grab a bunch of us out of here and, you know, not one of us is a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of understandable there will be some confusion.
Yeah.
I agree with Mr. Kappa that there are points on the recording where Ms. Van Delft did appropriately tell someone, you're making a legal argument now, that will be later.
Yeah.
Or do not ask leading questions.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard those moments on the tape, and I, as a matter of fact, I found myself agreeing with Ms. Van Delft on several of those, and disagreeing on others, of course.
Yeah.
But
they went too far at times, is what you're saying.
What I'm trying to get at is that there is no more difficult proof, or no more difficult task you could probably hand a group of tenants than handling one of these cases, an AGI.
Yeah.
We're in there struggling to make a point to try and drive home a successful argument when in fact, in many cases, no argument is possible. And for us, it comes across as not wanting to be bulldozed. Pardon the term.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can understand that Ms. Van Delft has to keep control of her room. That is completely understandable.
Yeah.
And frankly, I would be disappointed if she didn't. But at the same time, I hope you can appreciate the tenants wanting to, although not under litigation at the moment, wanting to drive home the point that my balcony was fine. It did not need to be changed. She should not shut that down. She should not have come back to the tenant who said that, are you an engineer?
Yeah.
She could have perhaps asked a few questions that would evince the information without necessarily offending the tenant. Or she could have suggested that the tenant take the witness stand and be questioned by their rep. At those points, that's like hitting a brick wall for a tenant because they don't know the law, they don't necessarily know procedure, and here they are being told what to them feels very much like sit down or shut up.
So it's a matter of how it's said.
It
creates an impression that...
Well, in listening to the recording, I would ask you to also think about how it might be received.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I will have to listen to the recording. I mean, when I look at your excerpts, which, you know, I'm not suggesting, you know, like you're trying to mislead me by taking them out of context, but in black and white, it sometimes seems different from what you feel when you listen to the recording. So when I listen to the recording... it will give me the full context. I mean, I can see your point, though, because when, on more than one occasion, the question or comment is interrupted with, are you an engineer? I can understand how that, to a third party watching this independently, it might seem rather dismissive.
Well, I do have a couple of people here today who were at the original hearing. Mm-hmm. If you would like to hear testimony from them about that event,
well, I think if I listen to the recording, that will probably give me what I'm needing here. All right. And, this review was sent up for hearing by another member. Shortly after a divisional court decision came down recently, Mr. Kappa, you may have heard of it, it's the Houston decision, which is, from Mississauga. And I think the concern that led to this review request being sent to a hearing is sort of based on what was said in Houston. Although it wasn't decided on this particular point, there was another error made by the member of that one who's no longer on the board and has moved on to some other another position. There was an issue in that particular divisional court decision where, there was, a suggestion that there was a reasonable apprehension of bias because of comments made throughout the course of the hearing by that member about, the bottom line was this issue has been decided in another proceeding and you can tell me whatever, you want, but ultimately, that's, where I'm headed. I mean, it's less than ideal when you have a hearing where the member is essentially saying, I'll listen, but I know, you know, where this is headed. I mean, that does not suggest an open mind. So I think it was in the context of what happened in that one that this was sent to a hearing. So, I mean, yeah, that is a serious concern. I mean, you know, people have a right to feel that they have been heard and they have been fully considered if they are to get a decision of the sort. So, I mean, that is definitely something I'll look at, you know, when I listen to the recording. But, I mean, I'm mindful of what you told me, Mr. Kappa, that if I listen to the full context, I know how Aggie hearings go sometimes. They're sort of out of control because so many different people have so many different things to say, and they feel that when other people are speaking, they're not expressing properly what they want expressed, and you know that does have to be sort of reined in. But reining in doesn't mean that you say, you know, I don't care what you say, I'm going to decide it the way I'm going to decide it. That cannot be the impression given. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me before we go? Like I said, you know, it really depends on what I hear in the recording. You know, whether
Absolutely.
We're going to hear this or not. So is
there anything? I'm very confident that, unlike the first time around, you'll reach a fair decision here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What concerns me the most, if I have to break this down, and ignoring for a moment what I wrote initially, and by way of expansion or reconsideration of some of what I wrote, because in rereading my own application, I'm not sure that I 100% agree with myself anymore.
Oh, okay.
There are a few words I might have chosen differently.
Okay, all right, well, fair enough.
But at this point, I think the biggest concerns that have to be looked at, number one, a landlord's claim cannot be considered valid solely because they spent money. Mm-hmm. And that was the impression I got listening to that recording.
Yeah.
Number two, burden of proof by whatever legal definition is applied can't require tenants to produce evidence that where it is known that they cannot produce evidence. Mm-hmm. You're asking the impossible. It's worse than proving a negative.
It's sort of reversing the burden of proof, because the burden of proof on that application is on the landlord.
Yes, and 126 so, definitely reads that way.
Yeah, okay.
And matter of fact, I've been showing copies of 126 to the people here so that they know what we're arguing about here.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned with, though, is that it really doesn't take much when you're pushing up something up a hill, which is essentially what we're doing in these hearings. It really doesn't take much to trip you.
Yeah.
And what concerns me is that Ms. Van Delft may have, at many times during that recording, she is heard correctly telling tenants this is the wrong time or phrase it as a question. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of cases, she correctly asked their question for them to help them out.
Okay.
But at other times, she was unduly harsh. Mm-hmm. And it's the undue harshness that concerns me with the question of apprehension of bias. Mm-hmm. The burden of proof is a procedural concern, because this thing just naturally puts tenants at a disadvantage. And the only way I can see to correct that is that, as I said, these guys better have a very, very good reason for what they do. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that I know what those reasons might be up front. It's not to say that they have to, you know, take me down and show me what they're doing. It is to say that before they ask us for money, they should commit. They should do something other than committing drift. Mm-hmm. It concerns me that this process itself has a natural pro-landlord bias that is very easily fallen into by adjudicators if they're not careful. Mm-hmm. And I do agree the burden of proof is on the landlord, as it should be. But I think it's pretty easy after several hearings where you're hearing that we have no evidence, or our only evidence is non-expert testimony. I think it's very easy to sort of fall into the assumption that the next one's going to go the same way the last one did. And I think there is a considerable strength of Ms. Van Delft's behavior in there would reflect that. And that's not to say she necessarily made up her mind how much money these guys were going to get in advance, but it is to say that she went into that room with certain presumptions that may not have been valid. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the reasonable person argument, quite frankly, I was astounded by some of what I heard. And for Mr. Kappa, I want to make perfectly clear, I don't think anybody in this room would tell you this is sour grapes. We're not here because we lost. Okay? We're not here because we got a huge rent increase.
Yeah.
We're here because that hearing was unfair. That's why we're
here.
So
it's not losing. It's losing fairly.
Well, you can ask these guys. Just before you came in, sir, I made a statement to them that I believe any honorable person dealing in a situation like this has to adopt. I told them very straight up that I would rather lose on the truth than win on a lie. And this is the kind of honor that I hope to encourage in the board.
All right, well, I appreciate your submission. Thank you. Mr. Kappa, anything in response before we go?
Yeah. I guess what I take exception to is the suggestion that no evidence was given on behalf of the landlord in support of the claim.
Mm-hmm.
There was documentary evidence filed.
Yes.
There was additional evidence provided at the hearing.
Yeah.
And if I listen to my friend's submission, he's saying there was no burden of proof on the landlord. It all shifted to the tenants. And that's not what
not
transpired here.
Yeah. It's a question of weights.
No, I understand.
And this notion that the landlord simply gets money, gets an increase because they spent money.
Yeah.
Again, we went through the evidence in detail. The landlord was questioned in detail.
Yeah.
I guess what troubles me at the end of the day is, you know, what I've heard, what I heard the other day, what I've read here is we have no proof. And whatever you decide is not going to change the outcome.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, having... I mean, and whether or not there was proof on the part of the tenants or not, I don't know, because I haven't really had a full chance to...
if it would help, I have some of those submissions.
No, I mean, it's all here. I have it all in the file.
Oh, you have the original.
Yeah,
okay.
I have the original file. But, you know, I think the complaint that was offered just now was that, you know, when you state that the tenants, whether on this one or another one, it stated that the tenants offered no evidence, it might be read by some, and it might not be what is intended, but it might be read by some as suggesting that there's a burden on, you know, the tenants on an Aggie. On an Aggie, the burden never shifts. It's always on the landlord.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, if the tenants don't present evidence, that is relevant sometimes to suggest that nothing of substance was offered in response that would keep the landlord from meeting their burden of proof. That is completely proper. You know, the lack of evidence in response can be considered, within that context. Burden of proof not, burden of proof met because there was nothing to counter it. But if it is misread or, if it is a reflection of a mindset where the lack of evidence from the tenants indicates the tenants have nothing to say and they didn't satisfy, they don't have to satisfy, the adjudicator of anything. The party, the respondent, in this case the tenants, have no burden of proof. They have the right not to call any evidence. But, it's all a matter of whether the landlord has or has not met the
So, if I may,
yeah.
One of the common misconceptions amongst us mere mortals is that silence is consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's appropriate in this case.
No. Silence is never, silence should never be taken as
consent. The thing
consent.
Is, we should be able to win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if win-lose is the best way, but let me phrase it that way for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
We should be able to win simply because they didn't.
Because they didn't meet, if they had not met
if
their
they had
burden of proof,
not met a reasonable burden
you could
of proof.
Say not a single word and it would be appropriate to dismiss
at the same time.
I
did come this afternoon prepared to make arguments on a number of different parts of the application.
But that'll have to wait until
that's fine. I understand that. What I'm saying is that sometimes the tenants aren't so silent.
Yeah.
But you can't silence them.
Fair enough. All right, so Mr. Kappa, your view is notwithstanding, you know, there were interventions, the burden of proof was met,
yes.
And there was enough evidence there, and her, so you're telling me that her interventions at times necessary, at times, you know, it was sort of, it was not one-sided. She sort of directed both sides. She was forceful with both sides.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was, I think, mentioned in the Houston decision. Houston was not about her. It was about another former colleague.
If I may comment, being aware that you have not yet heard the recording.
Yeah.
I've listened to that recording. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a guess 30 times.
Okay. How long is the recording?
Hour and 10.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've listened to that recording probably 30 times.
Yeah.
And the only time I heard Ms. Van Delft directing the applicant was at the beginning when they were deciding whether Mr. Kappa would speak or the witness would speak. There were a couple of points where she sort of prompted them.
Yeah.
We're moving to step three, we're moving to step four.
Yeah.
But I never heard her tell anybody from that side of the room to sit down and shut up.
Fair enough.
She didn't tell anybody to sit down and shut up.
Okay, no.
Are you an engineer? Translates to that.
I think the suggestion is that was the tone taken. Okay. So
that was
else,
the intention.
Yeah, I understand. Anything else, Mr. Kaplan?
No. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to listen to the recording. I'm going to consider everything I've been told. And because this is an Aggie, you're not going to get my decision in the next week or so because there's so many different people that it has to be sent to and everything. So I will certainly try to get this, get this going, whichever way it goes, as quickly as possible. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
If I may, just very quickly.
Yeah.
In the process of climbing into this more deeply after I filed my application, I uncovered evidence, documentary evidence, and financial questions in several different parts.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask that, along with opening part three for review, which was my original request, I'm going to now ask that you set aside the original order and rehear the entire proceeding.
Well, I mean, I have to decide whether that's proper based on my listening.
It is a request, sir, not a...
Okay, but we'll deal with that. If there is a next day, we will deal with that on the next day. But
very
if
good.
There is a next day, any new evidence, try to disclose it well in advance, okay? Okay, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all the best.
Sense of my filing system. Procedural question that has nothing to do with this.
If it's only like in, you
it's,
know.
It's a how do I.
Okay.
In respect of disclosing new evidence in advance, what is the method?
You'd have to send it to the landlord.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure, you know.
Well, cross that bridge when you get there. Okay.
Well, hopefully it won't be too far away.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help on this.
Well, thank you for your time and patience.
That's my job.
Oh, and hey, keep in mind, I'm not done with this.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I'm fairly sure we can hold the names across. So what we do is we wait. new friend here will issue us a new order, and whatever comes from that stuff, that's where the road ends. If there's a new tribunal, then we'll, I'll be back with my piles of evidence, and if there isn't, then, well, it ends where it ends.